This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 202 of the USEA's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, I'm going to be talking to Gretchen Butts here in just a moment. Gretchen is the chair of the USEA's Classic Series Task Force, and she's going to tell us how the format has developed and what has been done recently to continue to promote it, what's available in terms of educational resources, and she also has some very helpful advice for any riders who are thinking of trying the format for the first time. Gretchen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris, for inviting me. Happy to join you with this discussion.
And you are now in Catchley, Carolina, so we've just caught up with you ahead of another competition. Tell us where you are. Set the scene for us.
Well, I'm currently at the Carolina International, president of the Grand Jury for the Two Stars this coming weekend, and we have a boatload of people riding here. I would think record numbers, although I can't quantify that officially, but there are certainly plenty of people who are here ready to tackle Ian Stark's courses of 2018.
Fabulous.
And the weather is looking to be promising enough, some rain overnight to help the ground. And all in all, you know, I think temperature and everything else should be quite ideal for the horses and riders this weekend. So looking forward to that.
Fabulous. Well, I'm glad that you found a moment to join us here on the program this week, Gretchen, because we want to, and I know we've talked about this before when you've been on the show, but the USEA's Classic Series is something that continues to grow now. Let's do a little recap, if you would, to start off with, on the growth of the program, how it started, when it started, and how it has progressed, adding more divisions to it over the last season as well.
Okay. I will do my best delving into the cobwebs of my memory as far as when we actually did this. I know Waradaka was asked to do one of the early pilot runs of this type of competition, again asked by the USEA to see just what kind of interest it might have. And I'm thinking that was 12, 13, possibly 14 years ago, honestly. Without dates in front of me, I'm not sure, but it was at least that long ago that we did the first one at Waradaka, which was met with much enthusiasm and success, and it has simply grown from there. Each year we keep adding a few more organizers, a few more levels, particularly more at the beginner novice and the preliminary level, at least for 2018. So the growth is there. The interest remains. Sometimes those on my Waradaka committee, we look at each other and shake our heads and just wonder why the interest is as persistent as it is. Thinking about that in a good way, though, because all of us certainly feel the value of it, which is why we all work as hard as we do, and not just my group, but certainly all the organizers. It's a bit of a labor of love for all of us because it's not a get-rich-quick sort of division, not that anything in eventing is, but with the addition of the steeplechase and the roads and tracks, going back to the long format, it definitely is more labor-intensive than what organizing and actually conducting a regular horse trials competition is. It's interesting for our population as far as competitors go. We have, we're always trying to attract more professionals, those who actually may have ridden long format at one point in their career and do recognize the value that it offers, both the evolving but also the established horse and rider combination. But yet many of our competitors don't. They only know of the long format in things they've either read about or videos they may have seen or discussions with people. It's an amazing draw still to those people who have, not actually done it themselves.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it, that it resonates with the generations that have not done or didn't grow up with the long format. Why do you think that is? Are they just watching this reemergence of this format and hearing from those generations that did participate in the long format and didn't know anything else, of course, for a long time. What do you think it is that resonates with this generation, Gretchen?
I think it's actually all the variables that you mentioned. A lot of it is, I think for particularly the amateur adults, you know, it's a new level, kind of within a level that they can reach for and achievably meet, if you will. You know, I know for some of the competitors who we have at the farm, our Waradaka Classic is the equal of their, you know, like a Rolex for them. It's the pinnacle of their career. May it be their all-time career high or even that, you know, season kind of ending highlight, if you will. We have people who come back year after year, sometimes on the same horses, sometimes on different horses, a lot of first-timers as well. And again, these are people who, because they tried it, they loved it, they recognized the value that it really gave them and their horse. And, you know, to them, it's worth the additional conditioning, the additional time spent in the saddle, horse mastership, if you will, gaining that rapport with your horse that keeps bringing them back. Certainly for the amateurs, I think that's a key point. And we have recently partnered with our area young rider program, the YRAP program, and I know our area 2 YRAP coordinator, Chris Donovan, feels very strongly in the benefit of the long format and their development in strengthening skills, both mentally, emotionally, and physically. And because of that, you know, it's become almost a feature in their schedule as well.
Certainly a revival for this format. Tell us about the divisions that were added last year, Gretchen.
Again, pretty much beginner novice through preliminary is what is offered, really from all the organizers. There are only, I believe, I think Mary Fike, again, without notes in front of me, I apologize, but I believe Mary Fike was the only one last year who offered a preliminary classic. And she actually had record numbers for her classic preliminary division. I think 10 or 12, which may not sound like a lot, but considering that she also runs a regular horse stall preliminary level and a one star, there were plenty of people at that level who had choices and selected the classic to compete in. For 2018, Mary is offering the classic level again, as are we, and as is the Heart of the Carolina competition in May. So there are 3 of us this year who are offering it. Several more organizers have offered beginner novice as well. So all levels are, I can't say, completely equally represented, but, you know, they are out there and available for people who don't mind a bit of travel. We are considering when to add the modified level, feeling first the need for more horse trials at the modified level to be offered so that riders can properly qualify, well, compete, and then eventually qualify to then enter a modified classic. So the timeline for that is probably 2020. It may be as early as 2019. We'll just have to see how the numbers play out this year.
Let's talk about the educational aspect of this series, because, Gretchen, you know, if we've grown up with the long format, we're pretty familiar with the, as you pointed out earlier, the demands that it puts on horsemanship, the skills that you need, and the knowledge that you need to prepare for the long format as opposed to the short format. And education is what it's all about. Talk about that, if you would, and what the USEA has been doing through the task force to get the word out and provide more information about education and articles about the series.
Well, one thing, Chris, that the USEA, our task force, has accomplished is the creation of a classic booklet, which is now available on the USEA website. And I believe it was just recently highlighted in one of their let me see if I can actually pull it up here. It was in the this most current e-blast from the USEA with the title USEA Offers Handbook for Classic Series Competitors and Organizers, which our committee created. And what we did basically was to compile the rules and qualifications, which prior to this had been in various sections of the rule book and or guidelines and were very difficult to find all in one location, therefore that much more confusing for anyone to first find and then to further read and have an understanding of. So all of that is now in one place. And the link for that classic booklet is within the context of this article. So we are feeling quite good about finally getting that on the table for everyone. And, you know, part of what is discussed in there are our educational, our minimum educational requirements of organizers who do offer a classic. And I, again, I must throw a huge thank you to Kate and other members of the USEA staff who have worked hard, Leslie Mintz being another, who have worked hard to assist us in providing a classic corner as part of the e-blast. I guess our classic corner comes out, I believe, monthly. I don't think it comes out yet semi-monthly, but at least once a month, USEA members can, through the website, find, you know, some additional information, mostly educational-based, some informative about schedules and dates and such, but basically all about the classic, which is new as of last year. And, you know, that has gotten a lot of, we've gotten a lot of kudos, you know, from that. But yes, the education is foremost. That really is what separates the classic from the other competitions. And basically what the classic is an educational competition. As simple as that. The education is as strong a component in the organization and the execution of the competition as is the actual competition phase itself. And I really think it's what makes the difference, honestly. People get a chance to, the riders, and again, usually volunteers, parents, supporters, anyone who happens to come with the riders, for the most part, are encouraged, welcome to attend any of the educational sessions, and just, you know, to kind of be as involved as they can be in watching them, learning from them, and so on. But, for example, with the steeplechase, you know, it is required that riders have, now required of organizers, that classic riders have a chance to practice the steeplechase fences prior to the actual cross-country competition. So it's not, you know, it's not a brand new experience for them when they're actually in competition. But again, learning how to ride the steeplechase, speed just being one variable of that proper riding, and then actually get a chance to practice over the competition fences. And again, it may not be in the actual competition track, but at least the competition fences are what they then will see in competition in the next day or two. That's just one example of the educational components. The other things we have done, and again, assisted with the USEA, is to have a more extensive classic library available on the USEA website of classic resources. And this can be anything from, you know, educational training tips, to stories that previous classic competitors want to share of their experience at a classic competition. It sort of hits the range of all of that, which a lot of people find, you know, very, very useful. And I think that's helped to encourage and support, sustain, if you will, the interest in this unique type of competition.
And as well as the rule book, of course, and you mentioned the Classic Corner, there's also the increased promotion now of the program using all digital means, not least of all social media and emails as well. So there's lots of ways for the members to find out more about the series in one way or the other, isn't there, Gretchen, really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we just keep building on the strength of that information sharing. And you're right. We have it at our disposal. Why not use it?
Absolutely. Well, just to recap now, as we said, the growth of the program has been fantastic, and it's very encouraging that the demand is there to extend it across all the levels. But perhaps you could give us a sense, as the chair of the Classic Series Task Force, do you have a vision, do you have a sense of where this program could go in the future, Gretchen? What are you looking at down the road?
Well, I think you raised the point of what we would ideally love to see versus what we could realistically hope to see. There are many, it's funny, many officials who do the classic competitions have shared with me the wish that, and the wish being that they would so like it to be a requirement that riders who move, like, from training to move to preliminary, from preliminary to one star, that they have to first complete a classic competition. And I personally can identify with that that request, and certainly the value that it offers, having judged many 1, 2, and 3 star competitions, and even those that involve the horse inspection, if you will, and how many riders still do not fully understand what the horse inspection is all about and how to properly present a horse at the horse inspection. Things like that that one takes for granted, that as one goes up through the level, certainly that is it's something that everyone should know how to do properly, but yet we fail to see it consistently at the big competitions. But yet it is an educational session that we have in the classic, because we feel it's important to, if you're going to do it, you might as well understand why it's being done, the purpose of it, and to do it right. And that's just one example of why we feel that the classic is so beneficial for anyone really moving up the levels, from novice to training, to do a novice classic first, training to preliminary, do a training classic, and then so on. That would be our wish, our ideal. As far as what we'd like to see with requirements, we're still working on keeping the competition fun, safe, and certainly, like any of the competitions now, working to assess risk and manage risk as best we can. And, of course, that goes across the board with the USEA, but also, within this particular type of competition, because it does ask more of the riders than what a regular horse trial does, both in preparation and on the day. For example, the steeplechase and just completing, the cross country. You have ANC, you have the steeplechase phase, as well as the cross country. So there are certainly added elements there that challenge horses and riders physically, mentally, and emotionally. And to be prepared for that is a huge step. That's part of the reason why we do the steeplechase practice, is seeing if riders can ride at the speed of the steeplechase for their particular level, and that they understand how to ride it safely and properly. Again, hoping to minimize risk and maximize fun. That's just, one example. But those are the things that come to mind to answer your question, would be those two issues.
Well, finally, Gretchen, I'm sure there are members who are listening to this and thinking, oh, gosh, I'm not sure I have the competence and the confidence to go and have a go at the classic series in the long format. What would you say to those riders who are perhaps a bit apprehensive about giving it a go?
Right, and that's certainly a very natural reaction to considering whether or not to do a classic. I think probably if one had the time, it would be to volunteer at a classic prior to actually competing in one, if the luxury of that time is available. That would certainly give one a lot of encouragement, as well as additional confidence in assessing, really, am I ready or am I not? Do I still need to do a bit more, or just what to be able to do it? But it would certainly be a valuable eye-opener to what is involved in the series. And, of course, I would certainly encourage someone to volunteer as opposed just to come spectate. But either way would be, just to get a hands-on kind of look at what is involved. with the qualifications, we've reviewed those as well, and we have we feel that what is on the website now is reasonable, as well as preparing one. But a lot of it has to do, like any qualifications, it depends a lot on that particular weekend, you know, how it went for you, and whereas you may just need 4 to be qualified, maybe, you know, some people could be properly prepared in 2, some in 6, you know, that's such a moving target, if you will, as far as being an absolute indication of how prepared one is. But I would think, I mean, we really do try and make them fun, safe, fun, you know, affordable, educational, an educational experience, you know, for those who do participate. That would probably be, off the top of my head, my first suggestion. You know, if you're uncertain, and even now, you know, there's so much, again, taking advantage of our digital era, so many YouTube videos that feature aspects of the classic. You know, one could at least kind of have a bit of a backseat ride across the steeplechase, through the steeplechase, if you will, on the steeplechase phase. Some roads and tracks, in other words, just to get a fairly good sense of what is involved, because it pretty much is the cross-country phase that is the greatest difference. You know, the dressage is, and the jumping, it's just a little bit more challenging, I think, just because of the way we have it set up, the test, the technicality of the jumping, et cetera, but it's really the cross-country that is the hallmark of the classic, like it is of any, you know, any event. But just to really be able to feel the A, B, and the C prior to the cross country, it's quite a moving experience. Even if you are watching, I remember one thing Brian O'Connor would always say, as you know, we would start the steeplechase, and the first few riders around the steeplechase, just the smiles on their faces when they finished the steeplechase, and for many, the first time really having their horse in front of their leg and them working as a team, there would be enough electrical wattage to light up the entire community based on their smiles. And that's a pretty accurate assessment.
And of course, there is also the opportunity, if you know somebody who is competing at that level, to go along and help them. Just be a groom for
Absolutely.
The day with them, and especially an experienced rider.
Yeah, embrace the competition as best you can.
Perfect. What a great
and then
summary.
I think. Yeah. Well, and I really think that will it will help them make the decision, for sure.
Any final thoughts here, Gretchen, on the format? What you would like people to know about the Classic Series?
Just give it a chance.
Perfect.
I mean, it's something that. I don't think anyone who gives it a chance will regret doing it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, this has been very helpful, Gretchen. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the show this week and remind everybody about the USCA's Classic Series. I've been talking to Gretchen Butts, who is the chair of that task force, and she's going to be the, what did you say, the, you're the grand jury president at Carolina this weekend, and I'm
yep,
curious.
Yeah, for the two-star.
For the two-star, before I let you go, Gretchen, just give us a sense, you know, on the eve of a competition like that, for someone who's an experienced president of a grand jury, you've done this so many times, what's going through your mind tonight before you go to bed?
Well, I am soon to meet Wayne Quarles and I we are the team, if you will, for the two-star this weekend. This particular weekend, I'm the president, he's the member, but we're definitely a team, and we are going to get together and review our dressage test that both of us have judged many, many times before. But it's always a good thing to, again, very useful to review the test and discuss it, you know, a bit, just to make sure that we're on the same page, if you will, prior to judging tomorrow. And just, it's just exciting. You realize how hard these riders have worked to get there. You realize your responsibility as an official, particularly in this case, you know, as a judge, and fairly and properly judging the dressage test and being responsible for giving them a fair and correct assessment of their performance on that particular day. And those particular 5 minutes that you happen to have seen them, we've already inspected the cross-country course, which to me looks really, really exciting to ride. And I, you know, kind of recall back in the day when I was doing a lot of this quite actively, and usually if there are courses that I get excited about and like to ride, you know, to me that's pretty telling. And if we have anything that we had a question about or a concern, you know, as far as risk management, appropriateness, sequence, balance, et cetera, you know, we've already discussed that with the course designer, and any changes that we might have to make would have been discussed. So it's just, you know, it's different than when you're not riding, but every bit is exciting for sure. And we just want everybody to hopefully have their best 5 minutes in the ring with us that they've ever had is what you can hope for.
Absolutely. And as you said earlier, maximize the fun and minimize the risk.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, Gretchen, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on
Likewise,
the program.
Chris.
And have a great weekend.
Thanks for all you do for the USEA and for our members as well.
And as Gretchen said, there's a lot more information about the Classic Series on the website at useventing.com, and also you can keep up with the latest news and updates on our social media pages too. And you can also find out when the next episode of the podcast is available, which you can download to any podcast player or app. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time, but until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.